I have to apologize to you, madam, because English is not my first language.
No problem, I do my best.
So I'd like to talk today about a personal experience. The title of the talk is Autumnal Cannibalism, which is the title of a painting by Dali, and also the title of a book that I wrote 2 years ago, based on the painting. To put some context first, I'm not a writer as such, it's not my profession. I've been writing poetry in France for about 20 years, but just as an amateur. And for many years I thought it would be great to come up with a story, tell a story. But I didn't know where to start, really. Until 3 years ago, when I started to study astrology at the faculty, at that time I realized that there was a big polarity in my chart, articulated around the Sun-Moon polarity. So on one side, 5 planets, including the Sun, facing 3 planets, including the Moon. And immediately it made sense to me that there was this kind of conflict. And I thought, that could be an interesting thing to write about that polarity somehow, and try to come up with a resolution of the polarity, because it's all very well to go back and forth on the axis, but at some point it would be great to meet in the middle. But yet again, I didn't really know where to start. And then 2 years ago, suddenly, one evening, I had the idea or the image of that painting come to me. And immediately, I had the thread of the story. So, let's have a look at that painting first, which is a bit confusing for those who don't know it. They don't really know what's going on there. But basically, it's a man and a woman, which is not obvious either. It's a man and a woman trying to eat each other out with knives and forks and spoons. And immediately when that painting came to me, which is obviously a painting I knew, but I hadn't thought of it for 4 years, immediately I saw the Sun-Moon polarity. I saw the Sun-Moon conflict. And more than that, I saw the possible resolution of that conflict, because if those characters manage to eat each other, they're going to merge completely and be one. So, the story goes as follows. It's very basic. There would be a man and a woman. The man would be quite young. He would be symbolized by the moon, not by the sun. Thought it would be nice to reverse the usual association. The woman would be a bit older, symbolized by the sun. She would be quite fiery and earthy. She's the owner of a restaurant in London. French restaurant in London. The man would be younger, he's Italian. And he had a drama in his youth. Basically, his own parents had a restaurant, and the father was in charge of the wine cellar, and he loved wine too much, and one evening he stabbed his wife in the kitchen. So the poor boy was very young. He lost his mother died, and his father was sent to jail, and therefore he was left to fend for himself. He went from institution to institution, and the only thing always kept with him was poster of that painting, and he didn't never knew why, but that's what he kept. So basically we have those two characters starting from quite different positions, and the whole action takes place in the restaurant in one evening. It's almost a theater play. And little by little they get to know each other better and get closer and closer until final union, which we will see later on. So anyway, so far so good. We had a painting coming up. Sun-Moon opposition. I had the thread of the story. Great. But then, looking at it, I also saw the themes of two other planets. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about Mars and Neptune again. And we might understand actually why later on. But it's a lot of Mars Neptune today. But Mars, I saw Mars because, yes, you know, there is an act of aggression, obviously, with knives and cutting flesh. So for me, that is Mars. And Neptune, well, it's daddy, it's totally imaginative, otherworldly. We are in a different world. And there is also a big blurring, big confusion between these two characters. There is a merging of flesh, and we don't really know where one starts and where the other finishes. The color as well. I was reading a book by Alan Oken and on Neptune. He was talking about the different colors of Neptune. And one color he said, which I really love, he said, it's the color of the matter of which dreams are composed. Color of the matter of which dreams are composed. This, to me. So, Neptune. And maybe more specifically, Neptune in Scorpio, because in a sense, when the painting came to me, for me that painting was an allegory of sensual and sexual union. And there is a kind of deep, intense, intimate connection between those two characters. So, in a sense, it's maybe more Neptune in Scorpio. And in fact, Dali himself seems to have validated those two, the symbolism of those two planets, even though he didn't do it in those terms. But the painting hangs at Tate Modern in London. And on the website of Tate Modern, we can see the two classic, say, explanations for the painting. The first one is that it's an allegory of the Spanish Civil War. So there we have Mars, obviously. Even though civil war might be a particular kind of Mars, a Mars that turns back on itself, in a sense. And in fact, here, if you see the woman on the left, her left arm is going around the neck of the man, and she's cutting flesh, but actually it turns out it's her own flesh. It's a kind of elongated breast or something, and she's cutting it. And to me, it's very valid. I mean, the civil war is a country cutting its own flesh. So Mars. And then the other explanation given is that it's an allegory of amorous and sexual union, which is what I had in mind. And on the website it says, in the foreground of this landscape, the figures devour one another, swallow each other, in order to become totally and completely identified with the loved one. Yeah. It looks like Dali was quite obsessed with cannibalism anyway. In 1974, a French critic, Mr. Runger, wrote an essay in which he theorized, and that's from the website, he theorized that cannibalism was the byproduct of Dali's subconscious urge to ingest whatever or whomever he desired. He noted that in 1971, Dali had expressed his enthusiasm for holography because he said it would allow him to accomplish one of his heart's dearest desires, which is to eat the adored being Gala, his wife, Muse. And in 1973, Dali wrote a book, and the 10th chapter of that book was titled, I Eat Gala. So the critic concluded that the artist's cannibalistic tendency, both to eat and to be eaten, was strongest with his companion spouse. I see, for me, it's Neptune in Scorpio again, it's kind of intense emotional and sexual connection. So, I thought, why this painting in a sense? Because there are many works of art where we have a sun-moon opposition expressed. Like in alchemical engraving with Soli Luna, that would have come to me. So why this one? Why does it come close, so to speak, why does this Mars, the Sun-Moon opposition come close in Mars-Neptune themes? At this point, I want to make two remarks. I, I want to explore the Mars-Neptune underlying themes, but in a very fifth house way, so playful and creative, and maybe too creative at times. And the other thing is, of course, why this painting? I'm not looking for a rational explanation. I'm looking for a thread, a kind of astrological signature, or symbolical insight into what's anyway mysterious and unknowable. So I thought I'd start with the natal chart, mine. Swing down to the four planets we're talking about. So here is the Sun-Moon opposition. And as for Mars and Neptune, Mars is in Pisces, conjunct the Sun, Neptune in Scorpio in the 12th. So Mars and Neptune are in mutual reception. So maybe there is a kind of affinity between the energies of those planets, a flow of energy, which is a bit easier than in most cases, because Mars and Neptune are quite antagonistic in a sense. Even though, I don't know if you saw, but recently NASA announced that a long time ago, a big part of Mars' surface was covered with an ocean. So maybe Mars and Neptune are not so strangers to each other. I didn't find any aspect except a very obscure one, for me anyway. It's a sesquiquintile, quintile and a half, 108 degrees, 3/10 of the zodiac. I have no idea what it means. So I looked very naively in a book that I have at home by David Hamblin on the harmonics. It talks about 5 and 10s. He says 10 is striving to 5-ness. Okay. 5, he says, is the figure of man, the creator. So does that aspect mean there is a striving to create that mutual reception? I don't know. This is just thinking aloud. And if anybody has an idea about that aspect, I'd love to hear it. But one thing he mentioned in his book is one example, an example of a chart strong in 5, was the sinking of the Titanic. And to me, sinking of the Titanic, that's when the boat just hit the iceberg. To me, that's very much Mars meet Neptune, because Titanic was this kind of endeavor, arrogant endeavor, that we are stronger than nature, the boat cannot sink. And obviously, on this particular occasion, Neptune had the upper end. But anyway, to me, what's more interesting is the mutual reception between the two. Then I looked at the day when the painting came to me. That was on the 13th of June, 2013, at 9 o'clock evening. It says Blantyre, Malawi. It's not a mistake. I was there at the time for some reason. So what we can see at the bottom of the chart is that Neptune on that day is 5:21 Pisces, almost exactly by Mars at 5:20. And what happened is the previous few days, Neptune moved to 5:22, stationed there, so almost exactly on Mars, and was retrograding, starting to retrograde on the 13th of June. Now, I suppose a classic reading of the transit would say that it takes place in the third house, activity of the mind and the intellect, communication, whatever. The planet of imagination is hitting the planet of action, focus, as you mentioned. Mars is the ruler of the fifth of self-expression. It's co-ruler of the 12th, where we find Neptune. So I suppose the writing of a book falls within the possibilities of that transit. But I think for me, more interestingly, for what we are looking to address is the station of Neptune on my Mars on that day. Now, I looked at directions and progressions and couldn't find anything interesting. So I looked at the return of that year, my return for 2013. So what we have is Scorpio rising and, of course, this big clunk of planets in Pisces in the fifth. The Sun is in the fifth, so it was likely that the focus of the year would be about self-expression somehow. Neptune is just outside the fifth, but conjunct the Sun. Mars is in Pisces. Why he conjunct the Sun? but closely conjunct Mercury in Pisces. The MC in Leo is just echoing the theme of the fifth house. And, which I think really fascinating, is the Sun-Moon opposition, which is picking up on the NATO Sun-Moon opposition, even tighter. So obviously the year was also going to be about addressing that opposition. Then I looked at the painting itself. No. The painting was made in 1936. The civil war in Spain started in July 1936. And on the website of Tate Modern, it says that autumnal cannibalism was not listed among the works shown in Dali's exhibition in London during the summer of 1936, but was exhibited for the first time in New York that December. So the painting was made between July and December. Now, given the title, I don't think you have to be a genius to assume that it must have been painted between late September and mid-December. So I looked at that period, October-November, again, Dali's chart transit and stuff, and didn't find anything. Then I looked at the skies, and what happened is that on the 25th of October 1936, 2 days after the Sun moved into Scorpio, we had an exact conjunction, Mars and Neptune. So I'm just going to propose, for the fun of it, that Dali got the idea of the painting around the time of that conjunction. And a conjunction that takes place at 19 Virgo, or 18-something Virgo, in the 19th degree of Virgo. So I looked at the Sabian symbol for that degree, Rudyard's symbol, and it says a swimming race. Swimming, Neptune, race, Mars. And a lot of the vocabulary he uses for that degree is soaked with Mars-Neptune imagery. In particular, he says, at the biological level, a host of spermatozoa, Mars, are swimming, Neptune, toward the oven, and each presses on toward the goal, the act of impregnation, which in that case is Dali being impregnated with the painting. Anyway, that's just a speculation. Why not? Okay, and then I looked at when Stevie asked me last year, on the 23rd of September, if I wanted to give a talk. And on that day, Neptune was retrograding at 5:31 on Mars. So almost at the same position it had when the painting first came to me. And in a sense, that day was the second coming of the painting, because I had forgotten about it. Book had been written, it was history, basically. And immediately I thought, maybe that could be the subject of the talk. And we had that position on that day. And then there is today, because today we have Neptune in Pisces and Mars in Aries, semi-square each other. So in a sense, they are just facing up to each other. But more importantly, we are on the first day of spring. The Sun moved into Aries yesterday evening, so we are on the cusp between a Neptune ruled sign and a Mars ruled sign. And on top of it, we had the eclipse yesterday morning, again, which took place on the last degree of Pisces, between the threshold between Neptune and Mars, so to speak. And that eclipse, in fact, at the bottom, is not only on the threshold between Neptune and Mars, but at the midpoint between Neptune and Mars. Which is why maybe we are so obsessed with Mars and Neptune today. Okay, the eclipse anyway is also, it's interesting for me that it happened yesterday, because today I'm talking about the book, and the book ends up on an eclipse. Because what happens is, things go very well between those two characters, and they get to know each other, and they have a bottle of wine, and things go perfectly until there is this wonderful Dionysian scene in the kitchen of sensual union. It's all ecstatic, and Neptune in Scorpio bliss, and they're almost touching the divine. But enter of moths, because the kitchen is a dangerous place, especially a restaurant's kitchen. And the poor woman, in the middle of this passion, gets stabbed in the back by a knife, which was somewhere. And of course, she's in agony. But the man is totally possessed, and he wouldn't let go. So what she does is she grabs a fork, one of those long forks you use to hold a piece of meat, to cut it, and she sticks it in the neck of the man. Sorry, it's gory. A bit bloody. But obviously it echoes the painting again. So there is a kind of lull in the story. She has a knife in the back, he has the fork. And eventually somebody arrives in the middle of the night for whatever reason. And at that point they realize they're still alive. They realize, they look at each other, they realize they are basically soulmates and they are one. And as we know, when the sun meets the moon, was confirmed yesterday again, we have a solar eclipse. And she being the sun, suddenly everything becomes black and she faints. And that's the end of the book. So, back to the painting then.
Mysterious painting.
I remember a discussion I had last year at the Astrological Association conference with Rick Levin. And apparently one of his pet subjects is quantum physics, which I know nothing about. But he was explaining how a subatomic particle can never be defined with precision. I cannot give the location and the momentum at the same time. And the best way to express the movement of a subatomic particle is as a wave of probabilities. And in the act of observation, you collapse the wave. And to me, that's exactly what's happening here. We have the sun-moon opposition wave, which can be expressed in many different ways. We have a Mars wave, a Neptune wave, and somehow it looks as if I had collapsed those waves into that painting, which crystallized, manifested those waves in a particular form. And when I say I collapsed the wave, obviously I don't know which I am talking about here. The painting is obviously a gift from the muse, a divine gift. And in fact, after writing the book, I went to Tate Modern to thank the painting and the muse for inspiring me. This is the book. It's small. It's not a bestseller, definitely not. but in a sense, well, everything I've been saying doesn't give any clues as to the quality of it. It could be very good, it could be very bad. It's probably very average, really. But the result is not that important. The important thing for me was the process, because it's allowed me to address and express that sun-moon polarity and resolve it, even if it's only fictional and imaginative. And I would like to thank Stevie and the faculty for giving me the opportunity to actually reflect back on this creative process and uncover a level of symbolism I hadn't grasped before. And symbolism that has been popping up in very unexpected places, in a sense. So, yeah, and I think it's enriched it's like a dance, really, between the painting, the book, and myself. And I think that's the beauty of astrology for me. It's that, and the symbolical language, that it allows us to lift the veil, so to speak, and get a glimpse of the magical processes at play in our lives. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.